I'm hoping part of the aroma that is pleasing to God this morning is me just laughing through the whole kids' song just then. I'm praying that that's acceptable worship to God, because that was really funny. I just think he was laughing too, because that was adorable. I don't know how they sound good together.
All right.
Do you have your sheet of paper? Okay. Because I have one extra.
I'm good. Well, that's good to see everybody again this morning. Thanks for turning out in this cold weather. Maybe that'll be the last time you'll have to come here in this year or for the next few months anyway, in 20-degree weather. Last week, we started and introduced you to something that's very important, which is learning to converse with each other. And I'm sure if I knew anything about Greek or Hebrew or Latin even, that the word converse probably has some meanings. But it's got to have something to do with give and take. It's got to have something to do with putting it out, but also receiving it. The conversation is a two-way deal, and we started talking about that last week. We want to talk about it a little bit more because it's that important. And this is really good, by the way, not only for a conversation that you might have with your spouse, but in the workplace. You'd be surprised how many people have conversations and they really never hear what the other person is saying. It's good with your children. It's good with your any relationship that you have, frankly, if you can listen and really hear the heart, or at least attempt to hear the heart of the person you're talking with, it's going to be a better conversation. It's going to be a deeper relationship. Something will have happened that would not have happened in most situations where you're just barely able to contain yourself while they're talking, so that when they finally shut up, you can lay on them the words of wisdom that you're preparing in your head. That's the way it goes. You know, that's the way it is. And you can always tell that. Some of you know the nonverbal language. Teachers, I'm sure like Gary, know. But there's always the nonverbal language that you can pick up on pretty quickly. When you're talking with someone and you're trying to tell them your heart, and they're going, you know, that bobbing that head. And you know, they don't hear anything. When your head's bobbing, your ears are not open, you know, and that's a fact. Now, that's a little bit different than when someone's sitting there with the finger, slowly moving their head might mean that they're actually absorbing what you're trying to say. But you know, and then it's frustrating when someone's standing across from you and they go, you know that they're not hearing the thing you're saying. So let's spend a little bit more time this morning talking about listening. Active listening is what we're calling it. You could call it something else, but then we've got a few other things. And I think we have about decided that we got about 3 more weeks after this, and we'll wrap up. I mean, obviously, when you're talking about stuff like this, it could go on for a while. But even in a counseling situation, we don't like dragging it on forever. We like hitting it, giving them enough to work with, and then saying, okay, you're on your own for a while. Go and do something and see if you can improve your relationship. And then we'll check in with you in 6 months or something. So about 3 weeks from now, we'll have hit some of the high points and you'll have someone else.
All right, if you've got this from last week, and I have one copy up here, or Tim and I could share, so we may have 2 copies. But we really are.
Do I need to make some copies?
I don't know. What do y'all think? Do y'all have them from last week about active listening? It starts off with prepare mentally. It's pretty good. Yeah, Taz wasn't here. I mean, it's really good. It's good and common sense. So raise your hand if you want Tim to go make copies right now, because I can do the first one. Okay, there's some. Make about 5. Okay, so prepare mentally. I had a couple this week, and they had this huge fight, And here's how it started. She had gone to work at her little daycare thing, and she got home right at noon, and her husband had had the little one, and she thought he was going to stay and help fix lunch, and instead he said, I got to go, here's the little one. And so she had now all the kids and getting home at noon, and everybody, and so and they just had a big blow-up fight. And so this is just, this might be just really common sense to all of y'all, but one of the best things that you can do is halt and write that down, H-A-L-T, because what you've got to do is figure out, prepare mentally, am I hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? Okay, every one of y'all. Because if you have one of those, you are more apt to get into conflict. One. Well, this gal was hungry, lonely, and tired, and it made her angry. And she really should have said, hey, can you not just help and stay and help me spread sandwiches? There's a lot of things she should have done, but the first thing is just stop and go, no wonder I'm so mad at him. The circumstances were not, it was what I was feeling. So just be aware of that. And so if you're, remember how we acted that out last week where Tim said, can we talk? No, I said to Tim, can we talk? And he's like, no, because he had business. But just be aware to make the conditions as apropos as possible, because you are sitting down to talk about something. So anyway, the next part just says, and I'll tell y'all as he's doing it, there's a conscious effort to focus. Okay, is it going to be smart to fight with your kids around? Never, even though they'll feel the tension. But just to tell y'all, and y'all, again, it's probably common sense. If a young child is constantly exposed to their parents fighting, it will change them. They will be less secure. They will be more anxious. They will turn to a lot of things for comfort. So just remember, that will change your children if you fight in front of them. But when you do, include them in the apology. So conscious effort to focus. Get rid of distractions. Okay, and this is, somebody came up to me and said it after class last week, and I'm so glad to be reminded. Okay, this is what not getting rid of distractions is, where the wife says, honey, can we talk about something? And he goes, and he mutes the TV, and he turns to you. Okay? Or, can we wait till the commercial? Now, that's a good one, isn't it? That wife goes, you mean I have 30 whole seconds? You know, it's just about, seriously, I'm just telling y'all this. This is what the remote is for. Turn it off, okay? It does not need to be muted in the background. That's already a distraction, because I'm just telling you, if the wife wants to talk and the husband's watching NCAA basketball game, then you're not going to get his whole attention.
That may be.
No arguments during March.
Yeah, that may be the first
no
thing you said.
No arguments during March Madness.
That may be the first thing that anybody has ever said to step on Frank's toes. Right there.
That's right.
You might have just.
Pat is wise enough to not pick a fight with him during March Madness. Shannon. Yes. Yes. That's right. Right. I know. Yeah, you do get permission to say, this is not a good time. You know my eyes have glazed over. If Mike's an early morning, he is, like I am. He does not want to have a serious discussion at 10:39. He does, and so, yeah, you say, can we do this tomorrow? I'm just saying.
And that's not the only reason to say now is not a good time. There's other reasons. You know, you can be really angry and say, you know, I'm not quite ready to talk about that yet. Give me till, you know. Obviously, you're not supposed to let the sun go down on your anger. So, you know, hopefully that day.
How many people have disobeyed that law? Thank you. I mean, I'm just telling you. When we were first married, we thought we were the only ones.
But we're not promoting.
But it does happen. And sometimes you need a time out. And you need to just say, whoa, what you've accused me of is just, whoo, I got to process this and pray about it. And so let's talk about this tomorrow. So anyway.
Calls up and they're right in the middle of something. And they expect you to be right where they are.
Yeah.
It can be not an issue, but they think that you're right in the middle. And I've had to say, what project is this?
That's awesome.
One of the things over the years that I've learned in those days, hey, got to talk to you about a given project.
Yeah.
Is now a good time.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
Is now a good time. If not, when you've got your deck cleared, then
that's
can
good.
We get back together, say, 2 o'clock this afternoon? You know, got some issues on a particular subject. So if it applies at that level, and I submit that it absolutely does, then it applies all the more when you're dealing with greater issues.
All of y'all are pretty good, but John Carr's the best about when he calls me on the phone saying, hey, do you have just a minute? He does it unfailingly. Every time, do you have just a minute to talk? And I really do appreciate it because most of the time I say, sure, you know, if it's really a minute or we make it quick or something. But occasionally I'll say, can I call you back in 10? And he's, so
well, and what
same
David,
thing applies.
What David said too, maybe it's not happened to y'all, but there are times when Tim is a little too just focused on work or just like a man, not real fluffy and, you know, soft, and it's hurt my feelings, and he goes off to work, and I stew on it all day. And so he comes home, and he's like, hey, honey, and I'm like, mm-hmm. And so he doesn't even know what he did. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that just happens. And so then instead of these, again, resentment, hardened chunks of anger, instead of just, you got to tell him. And it doesn't mean he thinks less of you. He's just task-oriented, and he's got to go out and kill it and drag it home. And he has not had maybe the freedom to dwell on that. So anyway, I'm going to finish this part. Clear mind of preconceived ideas or emotions. Y'all, that is just so key. And what I'm saying is every one of y'all, and we'll talk about it some today, on our dynamics, on how we go back and forth. But if Tim were to say to me, can we talk? I'm going, I know what this is about. I mean, that's the first thought I have. Well, where did I get off saying that? It could be anything. It could be, I've really been praying about our Hawaii trip with the kids. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It could be something awesome, but I go to, oh, yeah, I know how this goes, and I know you're going to say this, and I'm going to, you know. So just the way you have to do this is asking God. It really is, because we just get in our habit patterns. So anyway, okay, you go and do the next one.
All right.
Sorry.
No, I got it.
Okay.
Pay attention. That's number two, and obviously, it seems like a no-brainer, pay attention, but you can pay attention, then you can really pay attention, like you really want to know, which is difficult. You have to search your heart here, because I would say most of us guys are guilty of really not wanting to know. And when it comes down to what a woman's heart is, what her deep issues are, what her strong feelings are, most of us just assume not know, really. You know, it's just
and
not.
And he may just be speaking for himself, so.
I don't think so. But I'm not asking for a show of hands. Notice that, guys? Thank you very much. You're welcome. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that's part of our nature sometimes that we have to fight. Because the reality is there is great blessings to knowing your spouse for that kind of, and for that kind of intimacy, for knowing their heart. You know, if you want to just get commercial about it, there's great benefits. You know, down the line for us guys on things that are important to us, there's great benefits to knowing a woman and to hearing her heart and to being able to relate. It's just hard work for most of us. Most of us guys, it's hard. So when you're paying attention, when you're going to try to pay attention, a few things you can do to control that, obviously, is the situation. Try to get rid of any competing, anything else competing for your attention. Try to sit, like we did last week, in a posture where you can focus, you know, where you can face them. Don't I mean, you can think of all the things not to do, you know. Don't be reading an article and say, yeah, go ahead, I've got a few minutes now. I'm checking my phone, got a few emails I got to get rid of, but I can go ahead. You go ahead, I can multitask, you know. Yeah, obviously that doesn't work. If, in fact, you're going to take the time to do this, if, in fact, there's any reason to do it, you might as well commit to it and say, okay, let's do this right. I'm going to pay attention, and it'll go quicker. You know, if you give it 100% of your effort, you know, you might accomplish what you need to in a few minutes, as opposed to letting something drag on for 3 or 4 days or a week. I want to keep saying for guys and girls, but particularly guys, this is like writing with the hand, your offhand. Okay? Just imagine you have broken the wrist on the hand you normally write with, and now you have to learn. It's like that. It's that awkward, but it's also that necessary. I had a drywall contractor who broke a bicep muscle, or severed it, or it popped, or whatever. But he was a huge golfer. Well, he had to learn to golf one-handed. And he did. He did. And then when his muscle healed, he was actually a better golfer than he had been before, because he broke it. So there's advantages to this. It's going to seem really odd, but that doesn't make it wrong. It's going to seem real uncomfortable. It's going to seem stilted, fake even. Fake's a word I hear a lot. It's like, oh, that doesn't seem sincere. It seems fake. Well, it is. It is fake. I mean, it's something that you're not good at, something that you're trying to do, something that you acknowledge, I don't know what I'm doing. So in that regard, maybe it is kind of. It's not insincere. It's just something that new that you've got to practice to get good at, but it's worth doing. So you got to pay attention. Okay.
All right, next one. Practice empathy. And again, this is so hard. Most of us can't do it without asking God's help. And so let me tell you what usually happens. So let's say I say to Tim, can we talk? And he knows kind of the subject, maybe like David suggested. I say, can we talk about that fight we had 2 days ago? So he kind of knows what the deal is. Normally, in our human flesh, again, this doesn't have to be just marriages. This can be an employee. This can be just girlfriend relationships. But normally, if you go, oh, we're going to talk about this, you start going, all right, let me get my arsenal, my ammunition together, okay? He's going to say blah, 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 but then I have this rebuttal, you know, la, 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 la. And so what the radical change we're talking about is, instead of concentrating on my hurts and how I'm right, I'm going to win, that you say, Lord, show me my spouse's heart in this, and reveal to me stuff that's going on with him that he would call this meeting right now. Can you imagine how different that would be to anybody you sat down with? That you're not going in this defensive, I'll show you, it's, Lord, I cannot imagine the financial burden that my husband carries all the time, that I just assume he'll take care of it. I don't think about the kids' college. I don't think about retirement. I don't think, it just never occurs to me, ever. But he wears it like a mantle. And so he's wearing a heavy mantle all the time, and there's also something else that's important to him. So just to practice, wonder how he's feeling in this. I'm telling you, as these stubborn firstborns, that sounds like a different language for me to say that. Wonder how he's feeling in this. I'm just telling, we got to do it. Do you mind if I do the next one? Because the next one's kind of common sense. Do you have anything?
That's good.
Okay. So the interruption thing is this. And I'm just telling y'all, some of you, and it may be men, it may be women, I don't care, but you're more logical and you like to debate and you're really good at it. Okay? You got the points down. You can kind of plow your way in and win. And that becomes a pattern. Okay? That really does become a pattern. It's like one or the other of just talks the other person to death. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just like, okay, I'm surrendering because I can't fight that. logic. I don't even remember what point number one was. You know, I just, and that becomes a pattern, and one surrenders, which is horrible, which is going to lead to resentment and being passive and wedge, just a huge wedge. So the no interruption, certainly try to clear it out. But I'm telling you, at some point, you may just say, okay, can we just agree to disagree? Can I tell you, that is a great statement to say in conflict resolution. Because if the stats are right, and I don't know, but the stats are saying there's about 59% of arguments that cannot be solved. They just cannot be solved.
That means they're not going to both walk away agreeing.
No. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's going to be, you know, Gil and Shannon sitting down, and Shannon just says, do not talk to me about Vanderbilt because Arkansas is the best. And, I mean, she's never going to convince him. He's never going to convince her. And y'all just agree to disagree. I'm telling you, it can happen in a marriage. You can just say, okay, we're going to. So anyway, I'm saying that there is an end. When I say there's no interruption.
I got one thing to say about that.
What are you doing there? God, Moses.
Doesn't necessarily mean to throw the phone on thing. There was a book written called Winning Through Intimidation, told the story of Nikita Khrushchev. Does anybody know that story?
Yeah.
At some kind of high level, you know, thing, where he just took his shoe off and just started banging the table and then just got nose to nose with someone. And what he knew is that when all other reasoning fails, you can intimidate someone. And that's what happens. And that's what we've got to be careful about, guys. And I won't even say guys. Women are capable also of intimidation because they can be so mean, or guys can be so mean, or we can be so loud, or we can be so big that we can cower our mates. And it's wrong, wrong, wrong. We've got to caution. But from an interruption standpoint, I see it. I've seen it. I've done it. Sad to say, but it's something we can't do. It's not part of active listening.
And go back to that anger we talked about several weeks ago. You know how God made our brains, and when you find yourself in that fight or flight, remember the halt, the anger. You've got to figure out a way to stop it, and it may just be, can we just stop this now and revisit it later? Go get something to eat. Try to hug. That's kind of one. Anyway.
Okay. Number five is no defending or explaining. The reason you defend or the reason you explain, well, I'll just ask you, why? Why would you defend or explain? Think about it just a second. Why would you bother to defend or explain? Yep, you want to convince them?
Yeah.
What, Shannon?
Justify yourself.
Yeah. What'd you say?
I'm right.
That's it. All of us have some need to be right. To some it's really, really strong. Others, it's not quite as strong. But most of us, by the time you reach an age of maturity, you've gone through enough battles that being right is important. When Karen and I went through counseling, probably one of the biggest aha moments in our relationship was when the counselor helped us figure out why it was so important to be right. And it was totally different from Karen than it was from me. You know, they just basically said, what does it mean being right? Well, you know, when you finally, you know, get in that place where it's quiet and you're sitting down and you're really thinking about things, which is a hard place to get to sometimes, you can kind of work through some stuff. And I was saying, well, you know, it's important to be right because you're not wrong, and if you're right, it means you're winning. And if you're winning, that means you're not a loser. And being a loser is really bad. You know, and it hit me. Whoa. You know, I hate being a loser. And for a man, that means you can't take care of your family. You know, you're a loser. It means you can't protect the people you love. You're a loser. You know, and we kind of worked through that, and it really tore me up thinking, whoa, that's why it's so important for me to be right. Well, when it came Karen's turn, she realized that in her family there was sometimes there was conditional love, and that if she made really good grades, if she was right, she got love. If she won a relay race, she was right. She was loved. And there was an awful lot of, well, in her mind, in her heart, being right meant being loved. Well, you can imagine when we were having fights, you know, being right meant to me, I had to be right to keep from being a loser and to be able to do my job as a man. She had to be right in order to be loved. Well, how do you resolve an argument or conflict when you've got two such strongly held needs to be right?
We didn't. We didn't resolve the conflict.
That is the bottom line. Defending or explaining is usually because you have to be right, or you want to be right. It's important for you to be right, and it takes a conscious effort to say, okay, maybe there's another option. Is your hand up, David? Or
no,
okay, you're just stretching. Okay, right, that's good.
So y'all got some changing now. Y'all got, I've got to be right. What's the difference? Is all like a
it is understanding what you value, and so once you get that, you can kind of say, I can bend in an argument and still be loved. And I can bend in an argument and not be a loser. I can still win. I mean, it's just as simple as that sounds, the reframing. You're like, why didn't y'all get that on your own? Why did it take 9 months of a lot of money and time counseling? But it took it. Really did. All right.
I don't want to overuse this, but isn't it, you know, and I'm not picking on Tim or you, but isn't it also a self-confidence issue at some level of not, I mean, at some point, I think you get to a point where you know you're not a loser,
yeah,
no matter what, and you know you're not loved just because of a unconditional.
Yeah.
Why do you ever get to that point?
I forget who preached the sermon, it might have been Taz or it might have been Tommy Daniel, where they talked about spirit confidence,
mm-hmm,
rather than self-confidence,
mm-hmm,
which is a more correct terminology.
Yes,
for Christians.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, you know, your love comes from God, or
right,
your peace comes from God,
yes,
and you have the confidence not to be in such a conflict.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's right.
That's good.
I mean, I'm sure that's right.
It's getting rid of our nature.
Mm-hmm.
Our natural, what we naturally tend
to do. Dying to self.
And yet, would you say, Mike Costello, in an argument, you're ever tempted to defend yourself or explain why you feel?
Never, I would never.
I didn't think so.
Let me explain to you why.
That's good. That's good.
Well,
but Mike did bring up the competition, which does happen, and it was so bad. And so we also had these, you know, competing things on how are you, you know, how do you win? Why is that so important? And then we hit competition. Throw that in there. So, but it's because there is some of that. And so that's when you do say, God, you're my defender. You told me I'm your beloved. And even if he doesn't feel like he's, I can.
If what you're suggesting is that spiritually mature people who have worked through the love and grace of God don't argue as much, I would agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But.
Sure.
But most of us haven't reached that level of spiritual maturity and spirit confidence to where there's no need for arguing.
Well, we all get glimpses, at least in my mind, I've got little glimpses of it.
Yeah.
Of how it could be, yeah.
Oh, true. Well, not only that, you can see it. You can see it modeled in front of you. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But then again, you don't know what happens behind closed doors. So don't always don't hold up people's idols just because they don't argue at church.
That's good. That's funny. And so true.
Okay.
All right. So number six, listen not simply to their words, but to their intent, their heart. Okay. It's not just English majors, because I know Mike is also in my camp, but some of us, the word choice is very important, and we are so good at, instead of trying to listen to their heart, we tack onto this one word that is just wrong and not used the right way, la la, and then we just jump in. And can I just tell you, that is an intimacy killer. That is a guaranteed intimacy killer.
Can I get an amen from anybody?
It just doesn't matter. We are all going to use words sometimes, especially when it's real important to us and the anger's flaring. We're going to use the wrong words. And that is the opposite. That is not the time to go, well, you said blah, 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 and that really means blah. What? What is that about? It just stops it. That is the end of that conversation.
And some
nothing
of
is going
some
forward.
Some of y'all are walking thesauruses, you know, and you can say, you can pick 10 synonyms for the same word, and then you can tell what it meant in Greek or Hebrew. And I'm just saying, that's a killer. That's an argument killer, an intimacy killer, a communication killer.
You're just gonna have to really, some of y'all, put this on the refrigerator. I'm not kidding. Take it to the fight. Take it, because when you hear that word or phrase, you're going to go to what you normally do, which is attack that word. Because, and what the message is you're so stupid, you can't even fight right. That's what he's hearing, or she's hearing. You are not intelligent enough to present an argument. That's gone. That conversation's over. It's not going anywhere. So instead of zeroing on that word, ask God to give you empathy to step back and listen to, because we're all imperfect communicators. What are they really trying to say? And that's why this active listening, where I go, wow, it sounds like you're saying that I disrespected you when I interrupted you in the middle of that business conversation or whatever. It's not about the words. It's about their heart. So we've got to do that.
And that just goes right into number seven, which is a continuation of that thought, which is when you're trying to give feedback in this process. And that's the weirdest part, by the way. That's the part that feels most contrived, is when you are trying to say, okay, this is what I think you're saying. This is what I hear you saying. This is what's coming across to me. However you decide to frame it, when you're trying to repeat that back, it's when you'll feel the most awkward. So it's important, though, that you do it. And as the other party, it's very important that you be encouraging. Okay? Because what you want is to be heard. So you have to encourage someone to try. You know, you can, if they're saying, okay, all right, let me try this. I heard you. What I think I heard you say is you didn't appreciate the way I responded. Well, when they're struggling to do that, you can't be sitting across from them going, nope, 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 you know. That's not encouraging. You know, you've got to be sitting there, big eyes, kind of, yep, nodding slowly. Yep, come on, you're doing good. Yeah, because what you want, I mean, picture yourself coaching, you know, four-year-old basketball players. You know, you don't scream at them. You don't say, stupid, you can't dribble. You know, hey, stupid. You don't do that. You say, good job. Yeah, you got it. That's good. That's what you want to do when you're learning to this active listening. So That's the important part is that you're there saying, okay. And then don't be critical. If someone doesn't, they're not going to get it right. That's the whole idea. They're not going to get it 100% right. So you're going to say, that's pretty good. Yeah, you got a couple of the main things. But I also wanted you to hear this, because this is important, you know, because I felt that, you know, really disrespected, you know, when you put it in that kind of way. Tracy.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
We would do it, but yes. We feel like idiots. Yeah. But to me, it's the most valuable part, because when someone reflects back what they hear you're saying, sometimes it's like, I sound like that, but that's what I'm trying to communicate.
Right.
You know, or what they're taking in, and you realize how kind of far apart you are.
Yes.
Right.
And then you have a chance to lovingly say, oh,
I didn't realize.
That's not exactly
yes.
What this is,
what, yes. Yes.
You're
presenting
yourself to.
Yes.
I had.
If you ever do this.
If what I meant to be saying, yes.
You just kind of assume other people are getting exactly what you're saying.
They're not.
Actually
have
them say that,
yeah.
It's very
eye-opening. I had a couple this week, and he said, well, yeah, you know, she did. I asked her to do my shirts a certain way in the laundry, and she said, see, everything I do is horrible. I'm just like, what? You know, I mean, granted, they'd had a bad week, a lot of stuff going on, but again, he didn't mean to be communicating that, but that's what she heard, and so. All right, so we always try to give y'all homework, and I hope y'all did try to look at any conflict that you might have had this week and try a little bit. And like Tracy said, it's awkward, but you really do need to say what I hear you're saying, that kind of stuff. And in that same way, we want to give some homework for this week. And so what we're going to do is talk about kind of a dynamic that's called pursuer-withdrawer. So just kind of put that in your brain and kind of be thinking, ooh, if I had to categorize how we fight, he always comes after me, and I'm like, I'm done. No, don't. Or it's the other way around. Okay, so, and again, this is generalization. Just kind of be thinking about the pursuer, withdrawer dynamic. But as part of your homework, and I really want y'all to do that, is there's a Stephen Curtis Chapman song out that says something like, until I know how loved I am by God, I am not able to give love. Which, I mean, doesn't that just resonate all the way through you that if I'm feeling insecure or competitive, then I'm going to be so much more, you know, in Tim's face. So this is your assignment, and we're going to use lots of scriptures. If you don't bring one, then I've got some that y'all are going to read out loud. But I want you to bring one or two of your favorite verses in the Bible that talk about how God pursues you. And he comes after you. And if you don't know, like a month ago maybe, Lance had an awesome bulletin. It was all about how God rescued us. Do y'all remember that, the rescue one? You're probably like I am. I get it on Saturday night or Sunday, and I'm like, I don't have time to read that right now. But, I mean, go back. It's on your four-song bulletin. It was smack dab full of rescue scriptures. And it might have been David that wrote it. I don't know.
I did want to rescue one.
Okay, it may have been you.
That's not what.
Yeah.
What I was thinking was next week, I think we'll probably be celebrating.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
We will probably be celebrating. Oh
yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
Week
okay.
With food.
Thank
down,
you.
Down
yes.
Right.
So you have 2 weeks to find.
Okay.
So there's no possible way you can remember this homework.
Well, yes, you will. All these key people will. And let me ask this, because Lisa had said something to me. So we don't have to. We've got a camp out, and a lot of us are coming on Saturday, and people want to come back for this class. So what we could do is have a guest teacher on that 16th of April, if we need to in our schedule. So we'll just throw that out, that may happen. So.
Okay.
Well, there is a week between.
Yeah, there's. I'm sure there is.
Class here,
yeah.
Between the camp out.
Okay.
Be the 10th.
Okay.
Be the 10th or something like that. Yep. Okay. Thank y'all.